Community radio, and somebody else may be there. Somebody else is breathing heavily. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Cool.
I got one comment to say, and this is what I tell most people.
Ma'am, we can't hear a word you're saying. You're on a cell phone, and it sounds like it's on speakerphone or something like that's going
on. No, I'm not on speakerphone. Can you hear me better?
A little bit better.
Okay, this is what I tell most people in my community. You know, we bicker about what the president hasn't done and what he's not doing, but a hurricane, or let's say in Kansas City, a tornado does not matter until it hits your home. And then when it hits home, we all understand, oh, that's why that happened the way it is. I don't get it.
And the tornado in your metaphor is some sort of illness or injury?
Exactly. Okay. Injury, illness, you know, when it comes to Medicare and Medicaid, it's like, I mean, look at how many people are out here jobless. And look how long the medical profession has exploited the people. I mean, you just have to look at the background of the whole situation and see that, really, it's about time.
Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with expanding Medicare and Medicaid. But the problem, I believe, comes when you start to give corporations more. I mean, the medical profession isn't the problem as much as the insurance corporations are the problem. I mean, the way they have learned to profit off of taking care of people's or manipulating people's health and well-being, I mean, between the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies, I think that's where the real problem lies. And not being able to remedy that, and in fact, increasing the authority that those two institutions have over our health, which is, I think, contributed to why we're so unhealthy in the first place, is not the right direction. Medicare, Medicaid, expanding those is probably good. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, I agree with you, and you're right. It's the insurance policy and the rules and regulations that they have been allowed to get away with, and I think you should have stricter rules and regulation, and the government should oversee a lot closer, regulate the insurance agencies a lot closer, which they're saying that's what's going to happen, so let's see. Thank you.
All right, you take care. Have a great morning. I mean, I think, you know, people need to be clear here. I personally think Medicaid seems to work fine. Medicaid in Europe is what they call the single-payer system. I mean, in most other countries, it's a couple minutes after, if I haven't said it, 90. It's a couple minutes after 1 right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And in Europe, the single-payer system, universal health care, that is essentially Medicaid for everybody. That exists in other countries. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. But I think there is an issue that one can raise with giving more power to these for-profit companies that have distorted health insurance so greatly over the last two generations. Let's go to the phones. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
Oh, this is Russ checking in.
Russ, you're calling in early tonight.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little bit early tonight, but you know, I got to be a voice of logic and reason on your show.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be.
I'm just saying that, like, you know, I don't think most people, like the last caller, has any idea what the actual profit margin of an insurance company actually is.
Do you know?
It's a lot less than people generally think. But what I'm trying to say is that, for example, I have two friends that had triple bypass surgery a few years ago.
Okay, no, hold on, Russ. Then what's the profit margin of an insurance company?
Well, I'm saying it's not 100% or something.
Okay, well,
it's only a few percentage points. It's not like, you know, it's not. I'm just saying there's a misconception that people have that insurance companies are like, you know, like they have huge profit margins, which isn't true.
Well, I think the percentages are low, but the dollar amount is gigantic. If a few margin points on a few trillion, that's a hefty chunk of change.
Yeah, I didn't go to business school or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure the insurance companies are doing all right for themselves.
Well, what I'm saying is this, that people don't take into account, and that is that, like I was telling you, I have two friends that have triple bypass surgery. And I think the cost is between $75,000 and $100,000. Well, they didn't pay for it. They're military base. You know, they were veterans, so the military paid for it. Ultimately, the taxpayers paid for it. You know, the question is, what is the ultimate price of a human being in the United States?
Well, now we're getting back to Civil War questions again.
Well, no, I'm just saying that there's, you know, the highest cost for the medical, the medical cost
is towards the end of life.
End of life.
No, absolutely it is.
And I'm saying that there's a reason why insurance companies have caps on, and they had, you know, where if you had a precondition or whatever, they wouldn't let you into the pool because you would skew the cost. What I'm trying to say is there's going to be no free lunch here.
But something like health insurance, aren't we talking about, I mean, we're getting to a point where aren't we talking about morality on a certain level? We're talking about taking care of somebody. If you are shot and you go to an emergency room in a for-profit hospital, not a charity hospital, not a state-owned hospital, don't they have a moral obligation to sew you up?
Well, to stabilize you until they can shuffle you off somewhere else.
But they can't turn you away.
Well, no, they legally they cannot. But
right.
No, I'm kind of like torn on this Obamacare issue because, I mean, you guys know where I work at, and it is going to impact my health insurance here because, for example, the post office, of course, is hemorrhaging money. And I'm sure that the higher ups would love to, get rid of the private health insurance we have here and make us go to the Obamacare programs, while at the same time taking that difference in the money and not giving it to us in higher wages, but just giving that, you know, to stop the bleeding from the revenues.
I don't know that there's a difference, you know, when you have something that operates so severely in the red.
Well, it would make quite a bit of difference because that's almost,
right.
You know, when Bush was president, he mandated the post office fill it, you know, retirement funds and so forth out to 75 years.
Right, to obligate that it's going to be able to pay what it said it was going to pay, right?
Well, right, but I guess this, you know, this whole medical thing is, you know, it's a complicated issue, but at some point, I don't know how the government is going to make somebody that's 20 years old, 20 to 40 that's in good health, that doesn't have insurance now, how they're gonna make them pay into this system when there's no verification process available at this point.
Are they gonna penalize them through?
Well, how are they gonna know?
Because,
in other words, if I don't sign up for it, how are they gonna know I haven't signed up for it?
You would have to offer proof, or maybe it would start with the same way that the IRS operated for a long time before they got all your information before the 15th of April by you saying, I have this.
Well, that's probably what's going to happen, but I'm just saying that the whole thing is going to unravel. It's going to unravel.
You may or may not remember this, but it used to be in the state of Missouri when you went to the DMV to get your tags for your car,
mm-hmm.
they'd ask you, do you have insurance? And you go, yes. And they go, okay, here's your tags. I mean,
that's true. It's probably going to be through the IRS.
It wasn't until the late 90s that they started requiring people show proof of insurance. You know, and then you could get audited by the IRS and be like, well, you said you have insurance, and we tried to do some cross-checking. I mean, I'm not saying that the bureaucracies are intelligent or anything.
Well, they do have deep thought or deep think or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, whatever. Whatever's but, right.
No, I went on the exchange. I went on one of the exchanges a couple of days ago for myself. And,
I
didn't qualify, of course.
You went on the exchanges so you could then go on Huffington Post and do some old-fashioned trolling.
Nah, I haven't been doing any trolling on there. It's like a left-wing echo chamber. It's like descending into tree hugger nirvana.
Descending into it. So where have you been trolling lately?
Oh, I really haven't been doing that for a while.
Are you on a 12-step program?
Well, you know, there's like you were talking about earlier on your show. Like, what's the point?
What's the point of what?
What's the point of anything? I mean,
oh, I was getting all philosophical again.
Well, I'm just saying that most people that are politically active, you're not going to change their mind about anything. You know, the people that are gung-ho on wanting the United States to start carbon tax trading, you're not going to convince them of anything to the counter themselves.
How many people have you met in person that are gung-ho about the United States starting carbon tax trading? One, have you met one person that's gung-ho?
Al Gore.
Have you met Al?
I have not.
Yeah, you haven't met Al.
Well, I mean, that kind of dovetails back into your earlier discussion about nobody gives a damn about anything.
Not anymore.
Unless maybe it affects them in their pocketbook in some way.
Well, I think people just gave up. I really do. I just said all these things really matter. And look how no matter what we do, it doesn't seem to affect things at all.
No, you know, you're talking about universal health care, in Europe.
I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about
well,
how...
Well, I know, but...
The Tea Party came close to toppling... I mean, and still is going to have a great effect upon the election. The closest that the Tea Party got to leaving its mark is that their great, you know, son, Ted Cruz, was in the Senate reading from Green Eggs and Ham. I mean, it's the great accomplishment of the Tea Party. What has it done? Nothing.
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic on the Tea Party, as I'm sure you know, that most of the people, I would say the majority of people in the Tea Party, are collecting Social Security and also collecting Medicare and Medicaid benefits.
You know, a lot of them, I would imagine so, yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those, well, like I said before, you can't be an American and not be a hypocrite. I'm sure you could find a few people in the United States that would not be hypocrites, but...
I'm sure you can find a few people in the world that aren't hypocrites.
Yeah, but I wonder how many.
Yeah, yogis and Buddhas sitting on the top of mountains.
Maybe so.
Lotus posed but, out, right?
Well, you know, my wife is back in Ukraine right now for a vacation, but visiting her mother, and she has several. She's doing some medical, having some medical stuff there because it's so much cheaper. She had X-rays, full blood workups, and so forth for like $6.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, I don't know how it would be, you know. On the one hand, I would be okay with single payer. But I don't know how that, you know, it's I guess it's the unknown that people are concerned about.
Well, I mean, let that be a lesson for everyone. If you want to pay for airfare to the Ukraine.
There you go.
You know, it's really cheap to get your medical work done there.
No, it is, actually.
But, you know, you can't take the metro.
No, speaking of one last thing before I go here, she was talking to a friend of hers there that took an 8-day vacation to Egypt in the summer, stayed at a 5-star hotel, and it was like $800.
Yeah.
You talk about they must be so desperate for tourists.
Yeah, have you not been paying attention to what's been going on in Egypt? It's like, you know.
Well, obviously, but.
Get on Priceline and see how much you can stay for in downtown Mogadishu. We're going to talk about some deals.
They probably at least got a 3-star hotel there.
Right.
Have you ever been to a 5-star hotel?
No, I have not.
I haven't either. I guess in Dubai there's like a 6-star hotel.
Yeah, they got everything's bigger in the Middle East right now.
I'm not even sure what a 6-star hotel means exactly. But anyway, so on that happy note, I'm going to go back to losing your mail.
Right, you get the prostate milked while you get released after your.
Right, I was going to say I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to find out.
You wouldn't? You wouldn't want to live in the lap of luxury?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the 6-star, it's like some octave or something. You start back over. Might not be pleasant, but as far as what Russ was talking about, do you think we're hypocrites or just schizophrenic?
In America?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's a fair point. I think that the bigger issue is that if you are going to feel a certain way about America and transpose those feelings on to the history of this country, you have to overlook some hypocrisies to feel kind of just, happy-go-lucky about it. But schizophrenic is also what it is. I mean, because not being able to settle in on any one mindset, right? Not being able to be consistent.
It's fractured. Like, it's unable to be joined.
And therefore, you have an issue with logic and reason. Right?
And diabetes, apparently.
Well, that's what I've always said. If the federal government really wanted to involve itself in the health and well-being of the United States citizen or anyone else that's here, they should stop the subsidy of corn and soy. I mean, between the high fructose corn syrup and the partially hydrogenated soybean oils, we're literally talking about heart disease and diabetes. I mean, heart disease is what kills America. I mean, and of course, without all that cheap corn, you wouldn't have all those damn cows. All that corn and the soybeans, between the margarine and the bovine. I mean, it's literally diet beyond anything else. If anyone is confused about healthcare or the care of one's own health, understand that you have to let your food be your medicine. That's it. All that pharmaceutical stuff and all those other things are shortcuts. I mean, you can make up for so long, and your body has so much life force that you can really fudge it forever. That's why little kids, a 14-year-old boy can eat poison day in and day out and not be overly sick all the time. But then you get to be 40 years old, and if you eat poison day in and day out, you're going to start to be sick more and more, right? Am I making sense here? It's the same way somebody who drinks an amazing amount of alcohol every day learns to cope with it, right? You drink a liter of vodka every day or something like that. You don't have a hangover in the morning, the same way somebody who never drinks vodka or never drinks would have after drinking just like 5 or 6 drinks of vodka. You get a tolerance to the poison. But then at some point, the body is just like, okay, I can't do this anymore. It's like with your car. You can redline your car and drive it like crap, and it might last for a certain amount of time, but one day it's just going to fall apart and be like, yeah, you didn't treat me very well at all, so I'm done now. And how much of medicine is just pain management, right? I mean, how much of medicine is just taking pain pills? Because that's all there is. It's just pain. Your body is in pain. Your organs are in pain. Your joints and your connective tissue is in pain. Because the way you have treated your body, because, there's a lot of things that we just don't learn, right? Unless we choose to teach them ourselves. Stuff that's not taught in schools. That you would figure in a rich, educated society, we would learn some of these things. But that's just like, it's not part of the paradigm. Because it doesn't make financial sense. It makes more financial sense to sell somebody a lifestyle that's affordable. That means you get to consume a bunch of stuff that is, on the outset, delicious and what would seem to be emotionally fulfilling. But nobody should eat 20 chicken McNuggets.
Nobody should eat one chicken McNugget.
Well, not only in the course of their life, let alone in the course of one meal.
A couple suicides ago, there was a clip in there from Mike Adams, the health ranger, about
when they did the microscopic look at a chicken McNugget.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah, it creeped me out. I mean, it was like one of those things where, like, I felt nauseous.
Yeah, and everybody I know that would still feed their children that, I made sure they watched it.
Oh, you know, but kids are a funny thing. You know how many parents are just like, I just feed my kid whatever he'll eat, right? Because kids are little sponges for all the stuff that gets thrown at them, all the commercialism, all the advertisement, and all that other stuff. And they get a little taste of that excitotoxin, and all of a sudden, the only thing the kid will eat, you know, is sugar and flour. And you cannot literally get anything else inside that trap. Now, my kids are proof positive that you can get a child to eat a Brussels sprout and be content with it. It doesn't have to only come at the threat of physical violence. Now, my three-year-old the other day had the option of having either chocolate chips or fruit in his oatmeal, and he chose fruit. He woke himself up early from his nap the other day because he knew I was cutting a cantaloupe while he was sleeping, and he was really excited to get to eat some cantaloupe. Because you know what? Cantaloupe is absolutely delicious.
It's underrated for sure.
Yeah, it's really an amazing thing. A nice, delicious, juicy, fruity cantaloupe. But I mean, how many people are just like, yeah, my kid doesn't eat anything other than junk food? A lot of them. Right? I mean, have you seen that? Yeah. It happens. Because they're not exposed to food. That's all you can get them to eat. I mean, so then you have the parents doing the same damn thing. I mean, go over this a million times. Really do. People don't. I mean, it's something that is just lost upon people. And the poor in this country who are so incredible. I mean, you look at rich people that are wealthy, and they look really healthy. Do you know why they look really healthy?
Less worry?
Oh, it can't be less worry. Those people have to have worry, too. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, the cleaner food.
Yeah, they just eat really good food. If you're eating if you're eating out all the time, but not at McDonald's, you're eating out at restaurants that use locally sourced organic ingredients that are prepared from scratch, and you're not eating processed food all the time, yeah, you're going to look better. If you're drinking alcohol that is, you know, plant-based as opposed to the, you know, I mean, whatever the hell's in Four Loko, yeah. You're going to, you know, if you're not drinking Camo, Triple X, or whatever that stuff is, but you're drinking, you know, a Chateau Haute-Brion or something like that, then, yeah, you're going to be a little bit healthier. You're going to have a healthier appearance to you. It can't be less worry. Those people, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I get stressed out in my own personal life. Can you imagine being stressed out about the Wall Street or something like that?
Right.
I mean, I think about the abstract worry that plagues me because of decisions I've made in my youth that continue on to this day. Which anyone that knows me even a little bit might know what I'm talking about. He's got a name. I think about the worry that's associated with that and the troubles that have come along with that. And then transpose that into, you know, my God, having to deal with that and, you know, what the Dow did today or something like that. Jesus Christ. I'm talking about stress. But, you know, I digress. Rich people look healthy and live forever. And indulge and do the same, you know, things that, you know, eat fatty foods and drink a lot and do all these other things. It's not less worry. It's because they're eating and drinking, you know, actual things as opposed to the processed crap garbage that the poor people eat. And when the United States Department of Agriculture says that it's actually cheaper to eat out than it is to cook your own meals with a straight face, and that means you go to McDonald's. That means you eat off the dollar value menu. I mean, if that's not a long-term strategy to make Obamacare extremely profitable for, you know, insurance companies. I don't know what else could be. I mean, there was a point at which if you were poor, you were forced to eat whole foods generally because you couldn't afford processed foods. And now that's flipped, right?
Right. Or there's, you know, more rural poor where they were growing their own food anyway.
Right. Exactly. Where you're like, you know, we're poor, so we have to eat, you know, off this bag of beans.
Yeah. My 93-year-old grandma only ate raw organic food the first, you know, 40 years of her life. That's all. That's the only available option.
But now things are different. They've changed immensely. And that's the health problem. I mean, this is not that hard to figure out. If you want to live a long time and not have a bunch of health worries. Now, if you get in a car accident, if you fall down a flight of stairs, you know, if you remove a limb with a lawnmower or something like that, you're going to need to go to the hospital. And you're going to need some serious, you know, medical attention, insurance, et cetera. But if you don't want to get a bunch of debilitating chronic illnesses, take care of your body. It's really not that hard. It's really not that difficult to understand.
And we don't need Congress or legislation.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, you really don't. How many? I mean, it's just, and people get really confused about it. The way people exercise. I mean, if you run every day and you're not running from lions on the savannas of Africa or something like that, if you run every day, then just plan on, put some money away for knee surgery when you get a little bit older, right? Am I wrong about that? I mean,
every hip replacement?
Yeah, everyone that runs ends up having to get their knees replaced someday. Because maybe you're not supposed to run in shoes on asphalt. Maybe your foot was not designed to do that. Not that hard to figure out. Not really that complicated. And then, of course, if you run and then you go eat a bunch of crap and think it balances itself out somehow, that's not true either. It doesn't work like that. I mean, you know, if you get sick all the time, you know, I'm not trying to be preachy or anything like that, but seriously, if you get sick all the time, it's because you don't eat correctly.
Or wash correctly.
Or wash correctly? Is that what you said?
Yeah, sanitation.
Yeah, sanitation. Well, right. You know, you don't want to get E. coli from
right.
your
dishes,
own...
dishes, laundry, hygiene.
Your own bootay up in your mouth.
A lot of people live in filth, man.
Absolutely true, man. But at some point, I'm sure you become immune to your own dookie, man. Would imagine that would have to happen at some point. But, you know, these people are just always sick. It's because you eat like crap because your body's acidic. You don't have any whole foods inside of it. All right, we don't need to. I can just get all negative and go on about this forever.
You want to have some fun? Talk about a new conspiracy we haven't had in a while. Maybe even never. I sent you the link.
Just now?
Yeah. Well, it was a minute ago. There was a rash of phone calls there. OJ's oldest son. Have you heard about that book? Hold on. This is refreshing.
OJ Simpson?
Yeah.
Orenthal? Really?
The juice. OJ is innocent. It's a new book by a private investigator that says OJ Simpson's son was the one that killed Nicole and Ron, and he went to trial to cover it up.
Was it Nicole's son? He killed his mama?
No, I think it was his...
From another white woman?
He's 41 now, I think the thing says. That's why I sent it to you, because you got a bigger screen than a phone. But, yeah, he's... Yeah, Jason Simpson, he's 41 years old at the time of the book being written, I believe. And that was in, what, 93-ish, 94? So, a solid 20 years ago. So, he was 21 at the time, Jason Simpson.
I'm trying to get some money for daddy, I think.
But, you know, there's several articles about it. I have not read the book. But look at that picture of him at the trial when the verdict, not guilty, is read.
The one picture?
the one person not rejoicing in the crowd, the family section. I had bumped across this information before, but for some reason had it revisited.
Okay, so what's the conspiracy theory here? What's the point of this? Is there one?
Yeah.
Maybe OJ didn't do it? Is that where we're coming from here?
Correct. Yeah, this book is by a private investigator. The son was a chef. He had knives that apparently fit the thing. This private investigator went through his trash and his work locker, gathering evidence. I don't think the article about the book says specifically, but I think, you know how the Goldman family hired a bunch of private investigators? You know, I don't think he was working for the city, but he didn't buy it that OJ did it, and they knew something else was up. But I'm always in, the mood for a good conspiracy, and this is one that's rarely visited, and it came up for me in the context of not just 9/11 or JFK or any of these, you know, big media frenzies where most people refer to an official version or the alternative version. Like, everything the news, the mainstream news says has to be a lie at some point, whether it's lies by omission or flat out falsities. But the O.J. Simpson, the conspiracy would be, the whole thing was a flap. Not to mention the bombing of the World Trade Center the first time in 93. That trial was being held at the same time, so it stood as a nice, solid distraction for everybody. But I didn't know if you had heard of the book, by any chance read it. Knew any more about it?
No, I like to read books that have pertinent information for something.
Well, like I said, this was in the context of, because it seems whether it's the naval shooting, the naval yard shooting, Sandy Hook, you know, it's these events happen.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. I haven't. The Aaron Alexis guy. I mean, the fact that he is pretty convinced that his brain was controlled by
ultra low frequencies.
Yeah. Or extremely low frequencies. Elfs, right?
Elfs or ALFs?
ELF, ELF, right? Or ULF. Are you saying that it's either way?
ELF or ULF. I've got a dose of both.
I've seen your brain controlled by extremely low frequencies before, Jake. I mean, that's a real thing. But was he a real thing? I don't know. I mean, what do the conspiracy guys say? I mean, people were saying, you know, that Sandy Hook, the parents were just actors and it was all staged.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, people go that far and just say this is all made up. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems pretty fantastic what that kid did. It also seems pretty fantastic that some guy is as crazy as Aaron Alexis seemed to be. Could get onto a Navy, would have access to a Navy base and then be able to take weapons so easily onto a Navy base. Because I'm pretty sure if you're a member of the military, you're not allowed to carry weapons on military bases.
Now they have a whole, what do they call it, the quartermaster maybe?
I think it's against the rules.
Yeah, all the weapons are in a central location, not being toted around by everybody.
Yeah, the Marguerite Whitley, I think, is the mother of Jason L. Simpson. If it matters, which does it?
No.
So you're saying the O.J. Simpson case was a big distraction?
Yeah. In the context of all of it is. And I was going to tie that all to the point of, you said it's like people don't seem to care anymore. It's I don't know if it's that or if it's just so like a natural, like your immune system kicks in at a certain point when you're surrounded by enough pathogens that it'll
heat. You know what people do care about? Zombies and vampires.
Some people do, yes. But at the same time, not...
Some people. Most people do.
Not caring about the...
Do you remember when Dancing with the Stars and, you know, Survivor, you know, Racial Challenge Island were really popular things that were going on, and people could still hold a conversation or thought it important to talk about politics? You remember that?
Vaguely, but, you know, I kind of isolate myself with, you know, the others. You know, I know people.
No, I'm just saying people would be like, you know, totally up on what was, you know, would. I'm not saying, you know, people may be informed about some of the issues, but they just don't care to talk about them anymore.
No, right. It's some kind of schizophrenic burnout overload. I think it's, you know, like I was saying, part of the beginning stages of a immune reaction, some involuntary defense mechanism where, you know, we're starting to tune it out for the sake of, you know, not just going bananas.
So before we had a bit of a diarrhea of maybe politics where people would just kind of
got it all out.
Yeah, squirt all over you. And now it's just a constipation thing.
Right.
It's like we have an impacted fecal situation.
Right. It was the...
Or impacted politics.
An impaction of some sort.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the radio.
Hello, Brother Benjamin. How are you?
I'm great, man.
This is Brother Love. I think OJ was the dumbest person in the damn world. Just straight stupid. And whether he did it or not, I don't really know, but I think this guy was just damn stupid, man. You know, to get caught up in all the things afterwards, he's just ridiculous. His ass needs to be in jail. Just dumb, right. Dumb and dumber.
Okay, you know? Enough.
And Obamacare, I think it's a good thing because I remember guys, man, suffering from gunshot wounds in South Central L.A., man, you know, and, hey, they didn't even give a damn about these people. And, hell, I can remember, man, when blacks couldn't even get into damn hospitals, man, hell, they had to build their own damn hospital, I mean, so come on.
How old are you, Brother Love? What?
I'm 56. I'm 56 years old, man, you know. And so I remember a lot, man, because, hell, I was there, you know.
Right.
And there's a lot, I mean, you know, as far as this Republican Party, man, they're just too obnoxious, man. You know, these guys, these far-right people, man, you know, they're supposed to be, this is supposed to be a Judeo-Christian society, I mean, you know. But they're a bunch of humanists, man. I mean, really, come on, man. I mean, it's just blatant stupidity and racism, man, that's going on, man. You know, it's sad. It's really sad. And then, you know, these people are supposed to be Christians. You know, they read the book of maps. That map is Africa. Africa. I mean, you know, the shit that I hear, the things that I hear.
All right. Brother Love, calm down. I hope all that was deleted. We're on the radio, sir. And if aliens did build the pyramids, they were in Africa when they did so. So it'd be African aliens or alien Africans. How would that work? Afro aliens? And nobody knows.
Crypto-terrestrials.
Okay. Yeah, crypto-terrestrials. I'll take that. But I don't know. When it comes down to it, I don't think Obamacare has anything to do with changing the face of racism, either historically or currently. Oh, God. Is Brother Love calling back? I think this might... Might be Brother Love calling back. We'll have to check. Is that you, Brother Love, calling back?
Yeah, this is me, man. Why'd you cut me off?
Well,
man?
Because you were using inappropriate language for a community radio show.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about inappropriate language, man, but the truth is the truth, man. You know, and as long as people keep on telling these lies, you know, the Bible says It's going to be good over evil. It's going to be, he said, you are masquerading as my church. You hear me? And he said, hey, it's going to be a holy war. Blood to the horse's bridle. I don't know what Bible you guys read. He said, Jesus said, I'm coming back with seven stars in my right hand for the seven churches of Asia Minor, crushing my enemies under my boot. He said, I'm going to take you to the wine press. That means stomp you like a grape, to the threshing floor, body slam you. He said,
WWF, baby.
Crush my enemies under my boot. He said, blood to the horse's bridle. Do you hear me? Good over evil. So what are y'all talking about? You hear me? I mean, what are you saying? These people have psychopathically rewrote history and the Bible. You have Latinized the Bible, the Latinization of the Bible, and Christ was a Jew. I mean, come on, man. It's a damn joke.
Yeah, I'll agree with you.
But it's going to be a holy war.
Tell me, no,
good over evil. It's going to be blood to the horse's bridle. You hear what I'm saying? You know me, the way this country is going, you know, stupider.
Yeah, there's not going to be a holy war.
It's going to be a holy war, man.
No, there's
it's
not.
It's going to be a holy war.
Good over
evil, man. You hear me? Good over evil.
So straight up. Brother not. Love, you got 50 on good. I'll take that bet. I'm
the
going.
British Islands. That's how we end up there.
Okay. All right. He's got the 50 on good. This is a British. I mean,
these people are pirates. You hear me? America.
Fair enough.
Was founded with schizophrenia, freedom, freedom and justice for all, and enslaving a quarter of a million of Africans at the same time,
killing
over half this Earth's population. That is a Holocaust.
So moving.
Africa, Holocaust.
Moving forward.
Look, you know what? Some of the things that you say, you know, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
All right.
You hear what I'm saying? Not for real, man. You hear what I'm saying?
All right.
You know? Oh, and for all you, for all the people, no, I'll tell them later, but man, I'm going to tell you, race relations in America, you know, it's not as bad as it used to be, but you have this, these neocons, and then it's poor white people, Argentines, Osage, and, all that poor trash. Now, they're ignorant as hell. Do you hear what I'm saying?
He's talking about KCK, man. He's talking about KCK.
Oh, on Osage Street?
I guess so.
Or Fort Osage in Missouri.
Osage, Armadale, you hear me?
He's straight up calling out KCK.
All that damn trash, all them hillbillies down there.
What about the Turner Diagonal?
You hear me?
We're going, brother love. I mean, it's not. You're not coming across that way today. First off, you keep using expletives and talking about how racist. You keep talking about how racist everyone is, and then you're being kind of a little derogatory with some other.
A holy war is long overdue. To their horses, bridle.
Take care, brother love.
Aliens versus Africans.
But if you want to take the bet. I got 50 on evil.
See, that gets lost in interpretation because I don't think most people even know what a bridle is anymore, right?
It's something you put in a horse's mouth, right? No?
Yeah, I think
is that
might
bit?
Be right.
Is the bit connected to the bridle? Come on, country.
Correct. See, that's what the bridle's the headpiece that the bit fits into.
Okay.
Unless you're talking about
leather
way.
Straps around the horses.
Yeah, but there's not going to be a holy war.
No, it's and
if there's going to be a war between two religions, it's going to be a banker's war, right? I mean, it's not going to be a war. It'll be billed as a war. It's like when Don King promotes a fight; it's billed as being between these two fighters, but in fact, it's Don King making that money. It's a fight between two of Don King's products.
Bob Arum out of that picture now. Is that his name? Something like that?
I don't know.
I don't know who's in the boxing world now. Because no, Don King's out, I think. Or he's just kind of like
he's
spending
making
his
money somewhere.
Now.
There's no more great heavyweights anymore, so who cares?
It's true.
Right? I mean, everyone was excited about Floyd Mayweather and some white guy who, I mean, it was funny, all these Mexican dudes I know getting all excited about a gringo. But Canelo, the cinnamon boy from somewhere south of the border. But those guys are welterweights or something. I mean, that's a lot of fun watching a couple skinny guys beat up each other.
There's not a whole lot of heavyweight
greats anyway. Yeah, you don't have that anymore. Not since Lennox Lewis destroyed everybody that he stood before, right?
Although Mike Tyson is apparently back on TV on a regular basis.
So is Arsenio Hall. Look at how the 90s have just recycled themselves.
I watched Coming to America this weekend.
Good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning.
Is that Mike from Fairway?
No.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the radio.
Okay. First of all, O.J. rocks. I think the man was innocent from the get-go. The reason he went nuts is because his civil rights were violated. Double jeopardy. The man was found innocent. They turned around and screwed him, took everything he busted his whole life for. I'd go nuts, too. Therefore, leave him alone. Obamacare.
Yes.
Doesn't every other, how do they say?
Civilized country?
Thank you, industrialized nation. Basically have a good working socialized medicine.
But Obamacare is not socialized medicine, is it?
It's a big footstep in that direction because I paid over $400 a month for my family's health care when I left my job and took it Cobra. I kept it for 18 months. I went down there $29 a month I had to pay them. But that kept Blue Cross Blue Shield for my family.
Yeah, and that is, and I was
it's a pretty good price.
The Cobra stuff.
Yeah,
when I left a job, and that's how they do it. They go, you basically are paying what the employer used to pay.
Yeah, okay, but the reports that I'm reading now on the internet are stating that a lot of the pricing of the health care is coming in below what they thought it would be, so it doesn't look like it's going to be as ugly. And if you want to bring down health care prices, a few simple steps. Disband the AMA. Allow doctors to actually practice medicine.
And make love, not war.
Well, how about not requiring a prescription to be for 30 pills when you only need 7?
I'm with you there, brother.
This is huge.
I'm with you there because I'll tell you... what I've noticed is because I was—it's funny you bring that up because I was thinking the exact same thing earlier this week because I had to get a prescription for something, and that's exactly what it was. It was something I would only need for an acute problem, and would only and had to look at the prescription. And like you said, it's 30 days, not a week. And then the other thing of it is it had like this. One or two refills for like a year. So, you know, it's you're encouraged or you're in that place where you can juke the system. You know what I mean? Kind of like, because they talk about people taking pharmaceuticals now recreationally more so than even.
Farm parties.
We've been doing that for years.
You know, you kind of open that, you know, you set yourself up for that stuff. And those are some. "Quote unquote regulatory things that could fix that, but I know you're not going to get that because Big Pharma.
Regulates the regulators. You remember them? They tried to do the prescription swaps for people who couldn't afford them.
Who did that?
Churches were doing it around the country. People would come in. I've got this unused prescription.
Yeah,
it's for heart medicine. Well, Bob over here can't pay for his. Well, let's give it to Bob. It's not expired or anything. The FDA, everybody swooped on these places. Oh, you can't do that.
Right.
I'm surprised wasn't the
but
DEA.
But I still got to get this bottle of 30 pills or whatever. You know, they're screwing us by, take a nickel and a dime times how many millions of people?
I think you're right. We would be better off if we could just share our drugs.
Grow your own.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, there's many good things happening around the planet, I believe.
Well, it's good to hear some optimism out there.
There seriously is. You know, even here in America, a bunch of boobs and beer crowd. There's still intelligence out there. I hear conversations on the bus all the time that just amaze me.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm always trying to shore up that position here on the show of optimism and things aren't that bad or, you know,
They are that
They're
bad.
Tremendously overstated, you know, the how much bad there is or whatever. But
We've
it's hard
survived.
Because what is trumpeted so much is the bad stuff.
Yo, Mike, not everyone in this studio lives in sunny Roland Park.
Dude. Right.
All right.
It don't matter where you live, brother. Heaven and hell is what you create in your mind. It's how you walk this planet.
Right. That's
that
where
determines
the
where you live.
That's where the holy war is.
Yeah, the holy war is in everybody's ass for believing it. Excuse me for an expletive.
Okay. You know,
it's,
but to be optimistic a little bit never hurts sometimes.
If you're not optimistic, you're going to turn out to be one of these newfangled Republicans. You know, those guys are on a crazy holy war.
And God bless them for doing so. I hope the Republicans succeed in fully shutting down the government. And we'll have to send the retirees in to open up the National Park Service. You realize that if the government did shut down, that would be the big negative in my mind would be that the national monuments and the national parks would be shut down. Because everything else will essentially continue as normal.
Do you really think that everything...
Absolutely.
I think that there are people out there that are praying for a shutdown and then a reaction by the public in the streets.
I'll pray with them.
You know?
I'll pray with them. Let's pray together.
You know, that's getting into some wild stuff there, brother. I hope it don't go that way. Hope it don't. Hey, look, great show. Enjoy it.
All right, take
care. Next caller. Bye-bye.
I don't think it would cause any wild stuff in the streets. I mean, I'm literally serious here. People would say, well, what about grandma's Social Security check? That will be in the mail. What about, you know, Aunt Linda's Medicare, you know, reimbursement for her, you know, donut holes or something like that? No, that'll be in the mail.
What about the guys with all the guns and stuff? Those guys are...
With the military?
Yeah.
They still get their checks, too.
Oh, really?
Right? Jeez.
Police? Homeland Defense? I bet you they get...
Yeah, who cares about them?
Well, I bet you they get paid, though. That's what I mean. I mean, there's... No, because you're right. I mean, and even the people who don't get paid and don't even go to work will get paid their back pay.
I'm not going to lie to you. There are people that work for the government right now who are listening. And I'm sorry, but I mean, it's a reality of such that nobody has it like the bureaucrats do anymore. It used to be in America, if you know, you were of the working class, you had a certain level of benefits that are now only enjoyed by people who work for the government, you know, state, local, and federal. You know, things like insurance, sick days, holidays, paid for, vacation, pensions. These things used to exist in the private sector too. Now, by and large, they generally only exist in the public sector for the working class.
So let me ask you, do you think that, okay, that's the is, but what's the ought? What's the it ought to be? You know what I'm saying?
How should it be?
Right. I mean,
there's no way to get it back to the way it was.
But you're not decrying that, because what came first before the government employees got all of their... all these benefits and things that you're talking about, the private sector got them, right? That it came from them copying the unions in the private sector. The problem
public
is not
sector unions, right?
Or no, in the public sector.
I'm agreeing.
Copied, but it's not the fault of the private sector that they have been decimated, or however you want to look at it, right? That businesses have organized and have disrupted or undone all of the benefits and whatnot that the unions and labor had received. They've been able to undo that because they're organized in that fashion. But then when you get into the public sector or government employees, they're not organized in that fashion. They're organized by people who vote for them, right? So the people who make that decision, the board of directors, you know, the city councils and those kinds of things, they are beholden to a different shareholder than the shareholder, or, you know, the board at GM. The board at GM is like, yeah, if we can spin this company off and spin this this payments off and find a way to reclassify these people, then they're happy to do it. But the people in the city hall or in the city council aren't going to be able to do that because, well, the 5,000 jobs that they might want to say, we're gonna cut your benefits, those are all voters, and their families are voters. And so they're going to not be able to touch that type of deal. So then we end up feeling like, whoa, those guys are doing so much better than everybody else. Why is it the teachers get this kind of vacation?
The point is,
it's not that they have it. It's that we all should have it.
Maybe we all should, but we don't now. And
you're mad that the person who's getting a healthy diet, to take a metaphor from what you were talking about earlier, you know, why are we going to penalize the people who are having a healthy diet they're not taking the crap that everyone else is having to eat?
What I'm saying, you know what I mean? I hear what you're saying, and you're making valid points here. But what I'm trying to say is essentially that if you have a situation where the only people in an economy who are taken care of are the ones that work for the government, we're getting very close to, I don't know, the way it was in the Soviet Union or the way it is in a third world dictatorship. And it's a perverse reality that I think is distinctly un-American. I mean, in the last decade,
but how do you get to that imbalance? Because I agree with you, but how do you get to that imbalance? You get to that imbalance because, again,
you deconstructed the other side.
It's not that, wow, government has just grown, and what they give their people. It's also
so if
private
the government,
has cut,
if,
cut,
if
cut.
If the government
what they
shuts
do.
Down, it's going to shut down for a week or less or another or 2 weeks or something like that. I'm just saying I'm not worried about the government employee. I'm not worried about the public sector.
I'm not overly worried about it because they'll get their back pay.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not going to defend them. I'm not going to sit here and go, those people deserve a voice because they have essentially almost a protected status. And
right.
And because of the nature of how it works, they vote their shareholding. They vote in themselves, essentially. They have the ability. And I don't want to be where I'm just punching bag on the bureaucrats. But let's be honest here. You know, you're creating an insulated class of people who operate the machinery of government that I think everyone in this on-air studio kind of agrees has something to do with why we're not as free as maybe we were historically or the where we should be idealistically.
But what if we insulated the others instead of – they're insulated, and we know why they're insulated. I think you would agree with my assessment that – because, I mean, you just basically said it too. They are voting on their shareholders. That's how they're insulated. But the guy working at GM is not insulated because – 20 years after they make the deal, the new organization that is GM, which is filled with people who didn't make that deal but who want to save those bucks, those people then come up with ways to shortchange the deal that was agreed upon. But now they are free, and we, the people, don't have any mechanism to force them to stay at the, you know, to honor their previous agreements. In fact, we, as a society, right, call them awesome CEOs and allow them to make millions of dollars for figuring out ways to undo the deals that had previously been set up. You see what I'm saying? The way you characterize it is we're creating an insulated class, but they're not. We didn't create that insulated class for them. It was an insulation that existed and was growing. And then we stopped the insulation on the private side.
The world changed around them.
The world changed because the business community immediately organized as soon as the new deal went into place, as soon as labor, you know, concessions were made or contracts were. They were immediately trying to find ways to undo them. They never said, whoa, 5-day work week, 40 hours and vacation. All right, fine. that's it, we're good. No, they immediately started trying to find ways to